WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. It is April 2, 2017. We're so honored you've allowed us to be a part of your weekday afternoon yet again. And we have a loaded hour of sports talk in store for you all out there on today's Current Sports. We will talk about that crazy Detroit Tigers game last night at Tampa Bay, Tropicana Field. The Tigers, a lot of mishaps, if you will, leading to a heartbreaking loss in the bottom of the ninth. We'll tell you how that all panned out, and there could be a big injury to a pretty big name for that roster. You don't want to miss that, and we will not have just one, but two guests live here in Studio S. Folks, we will invite to the show Chris J. Tucker, sports writer for the Lansing State Journal. I don't know if you guys saw this, but this story is gaining a ton of traction since it was posted around 11:46 p.m. last night. Chris Tucker, it's just like the celebrity Chris Tucker. That just hit me. Chris Tucker, that's a famous name, right? Anyway, back to regular schedule programming. Chris Tucker actually profiled Charles Rogers. That name rings a bell for many Spartan fans out there because Charles Rogers at one point was dubbed the best player in college football. He's a Grand Rapids native. Took his talents to Michigan State University, racked up crazy, crazy numbers, back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. He was drafted number two overall to the hometown Detroit Lions, and then things began to change for Mr. Rogers. We have not seen, heard anything concerning Charles Rogers in the past 5 years, but Chris J. Tucker got the chance to head down to the new home of Charles Rogers, that being Fort Myers, Florida, and do a one-on-one interview with Rogers to talk about what these last few years have been like for this once heralded college football and professional football player. You don't want to miss that. Chris will join us around the 1:15 mark, and then we will talk with James Moore, fullback for the 1988 MSU Rose Bowl champions and founder, of course, of the Motivational Speaking with a Purpose campaign. James will join me in studio to talk about why do athletes go awry? What happens? Where does the disconnect begin, and how do coaches and parents avoid that? We'll talk with James about that. We will also have Throwback Thursday on tap for you, and we will talk briefly about the NBA playoffs and the MVP race. That and so much more. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You know what's next. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. We start with news coming out of Flint, Michigan. The Flint Community Schools have agreed to combine the Northwestern and Southwestern high school athletic program starting in the fall. The decision was announced at Wednesday's Board of Education meeting. Decreased student participation at both individual high schools over the past few years ultimately led to the merger. Now, both Northwestern and Southwestern will remain open, but a new mascot and team colors has not been elected just yet. Students will be able to nominate ideas through student government, but an all-school vote will determine the outcome. Big news there. We hope to have Eric Woodyard, of course, sports reporter for MLive.com. We hope to have Eric on the show tomorrow to talk about that big news out of Flint, Michigan. Western Michigan star linebacker Robert Spillane will in fact return to the team for his senior season after reportedly deciding to transfer elsewhere in late February. Spillane announced his return yesterday on Twitter. He was a key cog to the Broncos' defense last year and came up with big plays in their marquee wins against Northwestern and Ohio in the MAC championship game. Now, his game-sealing interception in that title game led to them getting to, of course, the first New Year Six bowl appearance. So a pretty big name returning for yet another year for the Western Michigan University Broncos college football team. Michigan State softball was able to end its five-game losing streak with a 13-7 win over Toledo yesterday. The Spartans were led by junior shortstop Mackenzie Long and sophomore utility player Caitlin Evelyn. Now, Long had three hits, three RBIs, and three runs scored. Evelyn had four hits, including a two-run homer in the second, five RBIs, and three runs scored. Michigan State was also able to get a complete game out of freshman pitcher Jordan Watson. She gave up seven runs, nine hits, struck out three en route to her sixth win of the year. Greg and Lanny Fatigue were trying to think of a name for their fourth child. They already had sports-inspired names for their first three kids, those being Hogan and, of course, paying homage to the great Hulk Hogan, Colton Case, of course, the McCoy brothers, and they decided they needed another name that began with an H. So guess what they decided to call their son? Harbaugh. I kid you not. That's a great story. We hope to have Greg and Lonnie on Current Sports next week, so stay tuned for that. Reportedly, the child came out of the womb donning Jim's trademark khakis. That's pretty funny. Whoever wrote that in my script, that's pretty funny. All right, the Detroit Tigers falling to Tampa Bay last night.
There's a swing and a slow ground ball to second. Kinsler to second one. Iglesias falls down, rolls a throw to first. It gets behind Cabrera. The Rays are going to win.
Yes, the Detroit Tigers fell to Tampa Bay in heartbreaking fashion. 8-7 last night after Jose Iglesias slipped on the ninth inning while trying to turn a double play. Stepped on the bag, his leg gave out, and his throw to first base was wide of the bag and allowed the Rays to score two runs, ending the game. Iglesias also took a knee to the jaw. He was seen with his face in the dirt, not getting up after that play, after that heartbreak. And he was not available to talk to the media after that game yesterday because he was not in a state to do so. Jay-Z, Jordan Zimmerman went six innings, giving up 10 hits, five runs while striking out four. The Tigers were able to chase Rays ace Chris Archer after five innings, but the bullpen and late game blunders, of course, did cost the Tigers. Detroit has now lost the first two games of the series and will look to win the last game, which will be played in about 3 minutes, 1:10 p.m. first pitch. Daniel Norris will be taking the mound against Erasmo Ramirez. New York Yankees legend, and of course, Michigan native from K-Zoo, Derek Jeter and former Florida Governor Jeb Bush have united in their efforts to buy the Miami Marlins. The price tag for the franchise figures to be exceed $1 billion. That's a lot of moolah. Jeter, the future Hall of Famer, and Bush, the one-time Republican presidential candidate, have emerged as one of two potential bidders for the franchise, according to the Miami Herald. Now, the other is a New York financier named Wayne Rothbaum, manager of Quogue Capital. It is unknown if other bidders have expressed interest. All right, it took extra innings yesterday to decide a winner between the Lansing Lugnuts and Dayton Dragons. With the bases loaded in the top of the 11th and no one out, Dayton's Hector Vargas hit a walk-off single to left field, scoring Cassidy Brown from third in the loss. The Luggies combined for nine hits, left 13 men stranded, and were 2-for-7 with runners in scoring position. Up next, the Luggies will return home to Cooley Law School Stadium for a four-game set with Bowling Green. 5'5", Grand Rapids resident Porter Mayberry is set to defend his dunk title on TNT's, quote, "The Dunk King." The former Ottawa Hills High School basketball player won the first season of the show in stunning fashion, dunking over, get this, 7'2" Shaquille O'Neal.
Porter Mayberry at 5'5", Shaquille O'Neal at 7'2".
Let's go. We had a man jump through fire. We had a man jump over cars. Now it's Shaq time.
And he's on. Here we go. Porter Mayberry.
How crazy is that, right? I have not personally seen that dunk. Isaac, I'm curious. Have you seen that?
I have yet to. I haven't even seen the competition itself.
Oh, it's great. I think it's pretty entertaining. You know, Shaq and Kenny and Charles, they all judge it along with a few celebrities here and there. And it's a very cool show hosted by a show I used to watch growing up, Terrence J. of 106 and Park on BET. He hosts the show, and it's very entertaining, but I have not seen. I got to see that in person. 7'2" Shaquille O'Neal. Oh, my goodness. All right. Again, Grand Rapids own Porter Mayberry, though, set to defend that title. The show will feature 24 of the top amateur dunkers from around the globe, beginning after Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals sometime in mid-May. I will be watching that. Very entertaining stuff there. All right. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to be a part of the show, do so by calling 517-355-WKAR. Again, that's 517-355-9527. We are live streaming the show via facebook.com/currentsports and tweet us at WKAR_sports at Al Martin WKAR. Let's get on down and start this thing.
Ball to second, Kinsler to second one. Iglesias falls down, throws a throw to first, it gets behind Cabrera. The Rays are going to win. Niemeyer scores, Borges scores, and the Rays win at 8-7. And Iglesias is flat on his stomach, face down at second base. And the Tigers are probably going to argue on the slide of Brad Miller into second base.
Well, they're going to have a look at it, but Brad Miller stopped short of the bag. Logan rolled over on one, grounded at the second. Kinsler on an easy hop, fired to second, and I think just in his haste to try to hold on to the bag, he stumbled over the bag. Miller then slid into him. I mean, and he went into him hard. He nailed him with his hip and his face.
Iglesias is such a good fielder. He was trying to get rid of the ball as fast as he could. It was a hard collision, and now it looks like there is no replay needed. The Rays have won it 8-7. And we do hope, of course, that Jose Iglesias has had all kind of trouble with his legs, his knees, and his and some stress fractures down there. So we hope that he's okay.
Ah, yes, what an odd game for the Detroit Tigers last night. Taking on the Tampa Bay Rays, just a weird, weird game. The Tigers falling in heartbreaking fashion, the bottom of the ninth inning. And I tell you what, Jose Iglesias going down, trying to make the turn from first, looking for a double play, slipping on the second base bag. Took a knee to the jaw. The throw goes awry. Tigers lose 8-7, your final. Tough, tough loss. We're going to dive really hardcore into that game later on in the hour. But, oh, that's a tough one. We've got a loaded show today, though, folks. Loaded show. And, again, I want to issue a correction. Chris Tucker didn't even sound right. Cody J. Tucker will join me in just a moment here to talk about his piece on Charles Rogers, a man who just disappeared. Disappeared after not panning out as the second overall pick in the NFL draft, being drafted by the Detroit Lions. A lot of people wondering what's up with Charles now. Well, Cody got the chance to head down to Florida to talk with Charles. It's been a long time. A long time. And he is now telling his story as to what happened. The rise and fall of Cody, of Charles Rogers. You don't want to miss that. Cody will join me live in studio. And then later on this hour, we will invite to the show fullback for the 1988 MSU Rose Bowl champs and founder of the Motivational Speaking with a Purpose campaign. You do not want to miss that. And a quick elaboration on the Tigers here. You know, it's such an odd game. In the first three innings, two easy fly balls dropped between center fielder Jacoby Jones and right fielder Tyler Collins and second baseman Ian Kinsler. You know, I was flipping back and forth between the Rockets and Thunder game as well as that Tigers and Rays game. And I'm trying to figure out what exactly happened on those bloops, right? And afterwards it came out, because, you know, Tropicana Field in a dome, the acoustics can cause problems from time to time. Actually, fans were yelling from Tropicana Field in the stands, quote, "I got it, I got it." Really throwing the Tigers outfielders off. So I guess you can blame that one on the arena, I'm guessing. But it was another blown game by the Tigers bullpen. Different year, same problems, right? The second blown save by K-Rod, Francisco Rodriguez. He walked the leadoff batter in the bottom of the ninth, then allowed a double. After an intentional walk, he struck out and then allowed the Tigers to, when he struck out Steven Souza Jr. swinging, allowing the Tigers to play at double play depth. He got the ground ball he needed, but it was not enough. Routine double play from Jose Iglesias, a play that he usually makes. Easy turn. Stumbled after putting his foot on the bag and then gets kneed right in the jaw. There were a few good things I want to highlight in this game, though. Jordan Zimmerman, six innings. Even though he allowed three runs on four hard hits in the fourth inning, that came before retiring the final six men that he faced at the plate. Jay-Z, he allowed 10 hits, walked one, struck out four. Nick Castellanos had two triples. Great at-bat from Miggy in the fifth. He hit about a 94, 95-mile-per-hour fastball into right center field for a double, then scored on the next play on a V-Mart blooper to left field as Shane Peterson could not get the play on a dive. And then it was pretty good pitching from Justin Wilson, I must say. But then that ninth inning occurred, and K-Rod was just, ugh. Yeah, bases loaded. And I tell you what, he almost had it, though. When he got that strikeout with bases loaded, I'm saying, all right, just get a double play. And it was so close for Jose Iglesias. So we'll dive into it. Now, I want to highlight Victor Martinez later on in the hour because V-Mart has not had a great start to the year, especially in this recent stretch of baseball, folks. I'll highlight that later on in the show. Be a part of our airwaves, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Also want to highlight briefly here the NBA playoffs and start that conversation because last night, it was an interesting game between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Houston Rockets. It was one that I was glued to my TV watching. Russell Westbrook had a fantastic game. I got to admit. I mean, the dude, he's been great all year, right? Been great all year. I was curious to see how he would respond after what took place in game one. Houston garnering that early 1-0 lead. Not really a close game, but the Thunder was in control here. They were really in control. And this really puts in perspective the differentials in teams when comparing the Houston Rockets to the Oklahoma City Thunder. And of course, this directly correlates to this whole MVP conversation, which, again, I believe is a two-man horse race between Westbrook and Harden. The Thunder had a 12-point lead. A 12-point lead in nearly the end of the final moments of that third quarter. And I'm sitting there saying, okay, Thunder in control. Give Russell some rest, right? To show you how important Russell Westbrook is to this team, Russ goes out, and almost immediately, Houston sends his blood in the water and starts to go on a run that eventually led to about only a 4-point lead in the waning final seconds of that third quarter. That is when the tide began to change for the Rockets, and Harden did not start off that game lights out. And then all of a sudden, he got help. He got help. And that's something that Russell Westbrook just doesn't have. You look at it. Patrick Beverley hit some big shots in that game. Lou Williams was absolutely fantastic. Eric Gordon was a playmaker on both ends of the floor. He actually had a really nice block on Russell Westbrook in that game. Harden came on late to really put the stamp on the win. But there were some possessions last night where you really just saw Oklahoma City just giving the ball to Russell Westbrook, everybody else getting out the way, and hoping that the ball went in the hoop. And for the first time, I can say this probably for the first time, and I've made this known throughout the career of Russell Westbrook, I have not seen a moment where Russell has looked tired in his career, a moment where he's tugging on the shorts and just kind of looks like he needs a breather. But I tell you what, last night when I saw him just chuck up shot after shot after shot, it looked to me like his legs were gone. For the first time, I think we saw some fatigue on the face of Russell Westbrook last night. Isaac, I have to ask, when evaluating this now, a 2-0 hole for the Oklahoma City Thunder, and this is an opinion I also have. I agree with Reggie Miller when he said this last night. I really wish the voters had the opportunity to vote after looking at the NBA playoffs. You know, I really do believe that, because the regular season, don't get me wrong, what Russell Westbrook did is absolutely remarkable in the regular season. The first triple-double we've seen in average in the regular season since the Big O, right? I'm not taking anything away from his accomplishment, but it is the NBA regular season. Teams take nights off. It's nowhere near as competitive as a playoff game in the National Basketball Association. I don't know why they don't allow the writers and other personnel to vote after things are said and done in the NBA playoffs. I would like to see that happen, to be honest with you, while also putting a heavy weight on what happened in the regular season as well. But when it matters most, I like to see what these players do. Russ, it's not taking anything for Russell Westbrook. I mean, can we play this by, actually, can we cue this up really quick? Russell Westbrook had something like 50 points last night, dude. Absolutely balled out of control. But again, when it comes to Russ, he doesn't care about statistics. Listen to what he had to say.
So how would you grade, when you look at your line on the box score, how would you grade the line?
I don't give a f*** about the line. We lost.
Boom. One more time. You just get it one more time. Russ, do you care about your stats? Well, how do you grade your line?
So how would you grade, when you look at your line on the box score, how would you grade the line?
I don't give a f*** about the line. We lost.
Boom. There it is. That's what I love about Russell Westbrook. He is a competitor. He doesn't care about stats. At the end of the day, it is about winning. But, man, I felt for him last night, Isaac, watching him chuck up shot after shot after shot. He was 17 of 43 from the field, 51 points, a routine triple-double for him, 10 rebounds, 13 assists. But looking at everybody else, I mean, other than the 51, the second-leading scorer on the team was Roberson at 12 points.
Well, and Roberson cannot be the second leading scorer on your team to begin with. Obviously, that's somebody who's known for his rebounding from the shooting guard position, known for his defense from the shooting guard position. His offense is non-existent. When you look at the Rockets, on the other hand, you just delve deeper and deeper into that bench, and you have more and more scoring. That's just how it goes. You mentioned Lou Williams, 21. Eric Gordon, 22, plus 5 key points right at the end of that game when the tide was began to turn. He had the fast break triple, and then he got out, leaked ahead, and had an easy layup conversion that I believe was goaltended as well. Eric Gordon was, again, a difference maker. And this is maybe why I'm okay with Russ getting the MVP. I've said this before. I'm so torn on this. My vote, if it was actually official, would be for Russell Westbrook at this point. But the thing is, I'm with you. I think the first round, at least, of the NBA playoffs should be under consideration when it comes to voting for the MVP. I can see how going later should not matter so much, but let's keep it real. Only one guy in NBA history has ever won the NBA MVP award without making the playoffs. It doesn't hurt at all to consider if they do make the playoffs and how they perform once they are in the playoffs. They absolutely should. So I'm okay with Russ winning it because this is the most valuable player on one team. Obviously, the Rockets are deeper than the Thunder are.
For sure.
But at the same time, James Harden, he took that game away as well. James Harden has not had a letdown performance in either of these two so far. I call this a six-game series in favor of the Rockets. I'm sticking with that. But boy, oh boy, do they look good. They look like they could really contend with the Spurs and with the Warriors if they got that far. You don't think so?
I wouldn't go that far, Isaac.
I'm going that far.
You're playing the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's a one-man band here. Russell Westbrook. They're not, again,
it's funny because you were a James Harden fan earlier in the season.
I was, right at the All-Star break.
And we would have had that debate whether or not who has the deeper team, and you would say, I think they're pretty much equal. But I think as we've seen the season play out now, there's a clear differential in talent around both of these superstars.
And part of that clear differential, in fairness, was acquired at the trade deadline with Lou Williams coming over to the Rockets. That was as big of a deal as DeMarcus Cousins to the Pelicans. And just looking at the scope of what that did for those rosters, allowing the Rockets to play even more of a Mike D'Antoni style, run and gun, leak out on the fast break, hit the corners, hit a three.
Yeah.
The Rockets had all the difference makers in the world once they got Lou Williams.
Gordon with 22 off the bench, Williams with 21. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will invite two guests to the show. Cody Tucker, sports writer for the Lansing State Journal, who has a piece, again, that is getting a lot of traction, centered on Charles Rogers, former Michigan State wide receiver, great, who was drafted number 2 overall to the Detroit Lions and then went AWOL. Cody will talk about that piece, and we will invite James Moore to the show as well, both live here in studio, fullback for the 1988 MSU Rose Bowl champs and founder of the Speaking with a Purpose campaign. That and so much more. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. I am your host, Al Martin. In just a moment, we are going to be joined by not one but two guests. Cody Tucker, sports writer for the Lansing State Journal, as well as James Moore, fullback for the 1988 Michigan State Rose Bowl champs and also founder of the SWAP campaign, that the acronym standing for Speaking with a Purpose, the motivational speaking campaign that is again, just doing a fantastic job, just really making an impact in the community here in Michigan and beyond. So Cody's going to join us on the show. He's a bit delayed right now because right now he is on the phone, actually, with, I believe, the mother of Charles Rogers. I was up pretty late last night, as I usually am. I mean, I probably have an average time of going to bed, probably around 2 a.m. to 3 a.m., right? I'm always up doing something. I went to the gym late last night, got back, and began to prep today's Current Sports. And as usual, I'm reading every publication I can, making sure nothing gets by me. And immediately when I went to the Lansing State Journal, LSJ.com website, I saw a big photo of a man's face that I have not seen since I was probably 13, 11, 12 years old. Charles Rogers, his picture was on the front page of the Lansing State Journal. I'm sitting there saying, oh my gosh, I haven't seen this dude in so long. And it was I looked at Charles and he's got a skinny frame now. You know, he's not like the 200 and something pound wide receiver that we saw ball out here on campus at Michigan State University. And it was a profile done by Cody J. Tucker of the Lansing State Journal, in which Cody got access down in Florida to meet up with Charles Rogers to see what this dude has been up to since basically going AWOL in the last 5 years. I mean, it's a remarkable story because I remember, you know, my cousin Mike was a huge Charles Rogers guy. I mean, he followed Charles when, you know, back actually during the Saginaw days. And he was one of the best athletes. A lot of people believe he was the best athlete to ever come out of Sag Nasty. You know, you can throw, you know, Lamar Woodley, you can throw Draymond Green into that mix as well. Actually, all three went to the same high school. But a lot of people, you hear all these stories about how good Charles Rogers really was. He was recruited
by just about every school in the nation, but he chose to go to Michigan State University. And he was absolutely fantastic. After his first year, well, I should say during his first year, he went through a bit of an injury and then was able to come back his sophomore and junior seasons and made history. Had an NCAA record for consecutive games with a touchdown reception. Had back-to-back years in which he eclipsed the 1,000 reception yard marker. The dude had everything laid out for him. Everything laid out for him. He was going to be a top pick in the NFL draft if he decided to leave after his junior year, which he did decide to do. He was drafted in round one of the 2003 NFL draft, and he was the number two overall pick, a pick that actually went to the hometown state Detroit Lions. And then that's when things really began to turn for Charles Rogers. He got injured back-to-back seasons with the Detroit Lions, broke his collarbone twice. Kind of reminds me of the whole Tony Romo situation out in Dallas. But that really derailed his career. So much so that he began taking painkillers. And there's an interesting quote in Cody's piece that highlights that time when, you know, he goes to the NFL and when he gets that initial injury. And this is something that we've highlighted multiple times here on our airwaves. You know, players who get injured in the NFL, what happens to them when they are injured? I mean, back in the day, they used to hand out painkillers like they were Skittles. And that's actually a exact quote. You know, I kind of chuckled when I read it in Cody's piece because we've heard that. I mean, how many times have we heard that from players who used to play, right, in the NFL? You know, oh, man, when I would get injured, you know, I was in so much pain, you know, they would just give us painkillers. Sometimes they would be sitting in a bowl. You just pick it up and pop them in like Skittles. Crazy. And he became addicted to Vicodin. And that's when things really began to change. And then he also had problems when it came to the NFL's drug policy, smoking marijuana left and right. And it's interesting because the title of the article that Cody put together for the Lansing State Journal is entitled, quote, Charles Rogers says pain pills, injuries ruin career, not marijuana. So in just a moment, we'll invite Cody. I get he's on the phone right now chatting with the mother of Charles Rogers, so he's a bit delayed. But right now we do have live in our studio our dear friend James Moore, fullback for the 1988 Michigan State Rose Bowl champs and founder of the SWAP campaign, Speaking with a Purpose. First off, James, thank you so much for your time on this Thursday afternoon. How are you?
I'm great, Al, and thank you, man. It's a blessing to always be here. You know, you're just a loyal supporter, so just glad to be here. Glad you wanted me on the show once again.
It's truly our pleasure, my man.
And feelings mutual.
You, of course, are in Spartan lore back in the 80s. You played for the 1988 Rose Bowl champion team. And I want to just ask, I mean, because you, of course, followed the team and you followed it, I'm sure, ever since your playing days ended back in the 80s, right? What do you remember about Charles Rogers?
Oh, he was just a phenomenal athlete. Okay, I didn't play with Charles. Charles is about maybe, well, what year was it?
Early 2000s when he played at Michigan State.
My last year was 89 at Michigan State. But what I did watch and know about Charles is great athlete. Great person, great kid, you know what I'm saying, at that time. And it was just sad, you know. But when he was at Michigan State, he was the man. I mean, out of Sagnassy, like you said.
Out of Sagnassy. He actually, and it's funny because in the article, he actually has a tattoo and paying homage to his home city, Sagnassy tattoo, I believe, on his forearm. And Cody will talk more about that. But, James, I want to bring this conversation up because it's one that is carried over into this week. We began it last week, but... And we really talked about it on yesterday's show because I started to go through what led to the demise of Aaron Hernandez, right? You know, how did a man who had the world at his feet, you know, he was actually a Pro Bowl player when he played for the New England Patriots, and then he gets into these constant riffraffs and, you know, is indicted for murder. It's just an unfortunate story that led to Hernandez taking his life yesterday morning. You work with kids a lot. That's exactly what the SWAP campaign deals with, right? Dealing with the youth and trying to keep kids here in the area focused and on track. Where do you see the disconnect beginning? Where does that start?
Well, I've been talking, you know, a lot of people are talking about that right now, you know, Hernandez situation. And this morning, when I got off work at 6:30 this morning, I was talking to a gentleman. And he said something that really made a lot of sense, and it triggered something in me. We were talking about the Hernandez situation, and he said it all started when he lost his dad.
Exactly.
Right there, I'm like, you know what? And then I started remembering the times, because when he lost his dad, it was so emotional, he converted to the streets.
Right.
Not saying he was in the streets, but he converted to other, you know, male role models he thought, to the streets. And that's when it all started, because if you remember back when he was in college, I think a picture that he posted on Facebook showed up with him with a handgun or an Uzi.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah. This is what was, you know, so it was there, but I didn't think it was this bad.
That's a great segue into my next point here, because, you know, reading through the story of Charles Rogers, what he believes started, I guess, his rebellion as a player away from the field was when his grandfather, a man who had raised him in Saginaw Valley, when his grandfather passed away, died, and he remembers the call and he remembers that moment, and he didn't have anyone to really give him that structure, you know? And for you, I mean, how many times do you see that with kids, and how do you approach
you
that?
Know, that right there is a key, you know? Our young men that are growing up, our kids nowadays are growing up, they're growing up sometimes without male role models. Okay, and it's so important, because I lost my grandfather, like, I think it was 96, one of my loyal supporters. I'm talking about, I would my football games, my track meets, everything. Mm-hmm. Jim Richardson was there. Mm-hmm. I would be, my first year when I did see the field in 86, he would be in the stands, because he had season tickets. He would say, "Hey, Jimmy," just that loud. And I'd be like, okay, but that's the type of impact that male role models do.
Right.
When you have that connection, and our kids nowadays are lacking and missing and not getting it. And when they do have someone in their life that is trying to give that to them, they're rebelling. Oh, you can't tell me what to do. It's that type of attitude, that type of mentality, and it's sad.
James, do you feel like it's fair or unfair to expect a lot of these coaches who see troubled youth on their respective squads? Is it fair to hold them to the responsibility of that of a parent, or do you think
That's
it should
job.
Be an obligation
That's their
for them
job.
To do that?
It's an obligation. Mm-hmm. That's their job. I mean, when you coach because you love to coach. You're not coaching to make no money, because there's no money there. I mean, at the lower levels up until you get to the so you coach because you love kids and you love what you're doing. So with that being said, you have to do it the right way. And if your best star is screwing up, you discipline him like you're the worst player. Mm-hmm. Their discipline is the same across the board.
Right.
And sometimes it has to be even harder, because you can't just give this star player something, because then he starts feeling entitled. Then he starts feeling that, I'm James Moore. I can do this. No, it's not about that. And it's not about like that. So we have to start teaching these kids that stuff at a young age.
Do you feel like youth coaches today understand that said obligation?
Yes and no. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can say that about everything, but really, yes and no, because you know, it's tough. It's so hard, because you need that support from the parents. You need that backing from the parents. And you can go all week long, going to practice, the kid's doing great, and then that Saturday comes around when they play football. Mm-hmm. And his kid didn't get enough playing time. Then you got the parent yelling and screaming at these coaches nowadays. Back in my day,
that wouldn't go down.
Man, the difference nowadays is parents go to football practice and watch their kids practice.
And they baby them to a degree,
oh,
right?
Oh, my goodness. But you know,
and you see it firsthand, because I don't think a lot of people understand. I mean, you're an assistant coach with Rob Zimmerman at DeWitt High School. You also just finished up a stint, I believe, at Lansing Eastern High School, where you were a security guard there, and you got to see firsthand. You get to see on a regular basis firsthand what a lot of these kids go through. So just give us an example. What do you see in those moments, James?
Man, I mean, it depends on where we're at now. I mean, if we're in the high school, if we're in the middle school, it depends on where I'm located at.
Give us an example. What have you seen, and how do you go about trying to correct certain behavior with today's generation, which is a different generation, James?
It's tough. Mm-hmm. And I got chills going through me right now because it's tough. And, you know, when I left the school district back in December, it was a tough call. Mm-hmm. But I needed to provide for my family. And the things I was seeing in the schools were losing too many kids because of these kids feeling entitled, not having the work ethic. But then again, it starts back with the adults that are not demanding and not being consistent. That's the sad thing. So all we are hurting is the kids. And that's why we're losing so many.
James, I want you to stick around because I want to hit our second break. When we come back, we will invite Cody Tucker to the show of the Lansing State Journal. Again, he is the man who wrote the piece centering on Charles Rogers. What has he been up to? It kept me up all night. It's a fantastic article. We will go through how in the world did Cody Tucker get in touch with Charles Rogers? That and so much more. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.
Cody, what's up, dude?
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Thanks for listening on this Thursday afternoon here on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. We just finished up a brief chat with James Moore, again, Michigan State fullback for the 1988 MSU Rose Bowl champs and founder of the Motivational Speaking with a Purpose campaign. Now we want to invite to the show Cody Tucker, sports writer for the Lansing State Journal. Again, I profiled a bit in that segment B about, of course, the profile that he did on Charles Rogers, a man we have not heard of in quite some time. He was so good and talented, even dating back to his time in Sag Nasty, then going to Michigan State University, one of the best college football players of his time, and then goes to the NFL, drafted number 2 overall to the Detroit Lions, and then things began to spiral downward. We have right now Cody, live here in Studio S. He's a bit delayed because he was on the phone actually talking with the mother of Charles Rogers. And for those that have read the piece, I know Charles does not have a solid relationship with his mother. So, Cody, I can expect that was not a pleasant call, I'm assuming.
That was the more pleasant call.
That was
I
one
got.
Of the more pleasant yeah. calls. Okay. Yeah.
Actually, everybody's been great. I've gotten a lot of positive feedback on this thing, but not from Kathy Rogers. this
sure.
morning, that was kind of a rude awakening this morning. And I asked her, why didn't you call me a couple weeks ago? We could have talked about this. We could have,
right.
you know, this could have been in the story. And she said, no.
She didn't want to go on the
word.
Record.
No way. So
I want to start at the very beginning of this thing, Cody. Mm-hmm. How in the world did you get in touch with Charles Rogers?
Well, you know, I'm new here. I've only been in Lansing for 4 months. And, you know, I was never a big Michigan State guy,
right.
you know, no reason to be. But I always knew who Charles Rogers was. So when I first got here, I thought, I started asking around, where is this guy? What's he up to? You know, and I found TJ Duckett and did the story on Duckett. And, you know, nobody wants to give Charles his number. You know, Charles is missing for a reason, you know.
Right.
So I had met a mutual friend here in town who had Charles's number. And I thought, you know, it certainly, you know, you can't win the lottery unless you play. So
that's right. If you don't put in an order, you don't get served. Right, brother?
Yeah.
I feel you.
So
yeah, that's right. That's so right. The analogies continue, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I said, what the heck? Let's ask. So it was kind of frustrating the first month, going back and forth with a mutual friend. You know, is he going to do it? Is he not? I mean, literally, my bosses are so great. They were like, we will fly you to Fort Myers tomorrow.
Wow.
If he'll do this.
And I assume you went with a photographer because there are a lot of images of Charles Rogers on the website as well.
That's our sister paper down there. So
gotcha. Okay, yep. Perfect. So they shot you guys the images.
Yep.
What was that first interaction like on the phone? And when you met Charles in person, what was that like for you, Cody?
Man, that's a good question. It was on the phone when you see the name Charles Rogers, you know, when you see that North Carolina, you know it's him. And just heart starts beating a little bit. And he was real calm and cool. He's like, let's do this, you know. And he was very calm and collected. And I said, you know, Charles, this is going to touch on some stuff that, you know, you're probably not going to be in love with. And he said, man, you know, let's just do it. Just come on down. So I came down and here we go, man. I met him at a... of all the beautiful restaurants to eat and all the beautiful places and on the Gulf Coast of Florida, he's like, meet me at this Basil's Pizza Shop. And I get there and it's in the end of a strip mall. Can't even see the sign on the door. I'm thinking, where are we?
Yeah, exactly.
This is not the beach. Yeah.
And in the article, you said, I mean, that's where he goes to play on his lunch breaks. Mortal Kombat is where he gets free soda at. And that's like his hangout spot, right?
Yeah. It's like 10 feet from his the place he works.
Something I noticed when I looked at those pictures and something that you profile in the article is that Cody, I mean, he looks like a shell of himself during his playing days. I mean, he's 30 pounds lighter. When you saw that, were you shocked at the build of the once dominant Charles Rogers?
Yeah, that was the first question I asked basically was, man, what happened? I said, how much you weighing these days? And he said, 177. I said, what's your playing weight? Or 170, whatever it was. What's your playing weight? What was your playing weight? 205. And what? And Charles Rogers, for those of you who don't know, he's a big hugger.
Is he?
So he hugged me about 78 and a half times in 3 days. And yeah, I mean, he's just, once the 5 seconds wore off of I'm talking to the number two draft pick in the NFL.
Right.
It became, how did you get drafted number two in the NFL?
Right.
The way he looks now, you know?
Exactly. Exactly.
It's kind of sad. And I can't explain why.
Right. Right.
Why he's so skinny. He just said he's a skinny guy.
And I understand now he's working at an auto repair shop. He does not know much about auto mechanics, but you know he's got a good friend there that brought him in. And his title, I believe, is assistant general manager or something like that.
General,
right? General manager.
Man.
Yeah. He is the man there.
The man, yeah.
How does the number two overall draft pick end up here? Can you just talk about the fall of Charles Rogers? Oh. What took place and what? And I can imagine that interview was pretty emotional. At that pizza shop.
Yeah, yeah. He's just, man, just, it's a cautionary tale, the whole thing, you know, and it's well documented, you know, what he's been through. But I guess the new information that I learned was, you know, the fact that he accused the Lions of handing out painkillers the way they did and the way they just kind of tossed him to the side. And, you know, that really hurt him. But the thing that hurts him the worst is that, And you read the story, you read that he bussed 50 people to Madison Square Garden for his draft party. The day he came across the stage with that jersey, he had 50 people he paid for to go there. None of those people are left. I mean,
wow.
Saginaw's a great place. I spent the day there. I thought I'd do my due diligence, and I'm so glad I did. Because he has a lot of people there that love him. A lot of people. But the people that loved him at the beginning.
In his net group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once the money was gone, forget about it. So that's the one thing I'll say about Mel Washington, the guy he works for that he grew up with. He's not a general manager. He's helping out. He's helping out Charles.
Exactly.
He gave him a title. And yeah, he's got his back. He does.
What upset Charles the most when you sat down with him? What do you think he's bothered with the most out of his story about where he is now?
Well, I asked him point blank if he thought he was a good father. And that wasn't ideal. You know, he has 8 children with 4 women. None of them live with him. thinks he's a good father. That one really touched a nerve, of course. Right. But the one that touched a nerve the most, I noticed, aside from his Saginaw people that have turned their backs on him, mm-hmm. is Michigan State. Was the thing that hurts him the most. Not hurts him, but he did not want to say one bad thing about this place, even though we know he failed drug tests here. We know that his grades were not good here. You know, we know there was some problem. He fathered another child while he was here.
Right.
But he loves this place. He knows that he got his chance here. And this, if you think about it, this is where he shined.
Exactly. He was the man.
The
here.
Man. Mm-hmm.
And I think you did a great job of noting that there is a picture in the Scandalaris Center that has him. I believe it's on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Sporting News, yeah.
Sporting News mm-hmm. that labels him as college football's best player.
Mm-hmm.
He was the man here, Cody.
That good.
And I saw that you go to a moment where he returned to campus November of last year, and he did so with Ty. He now goes as Tide now. TJ now Tide Duckett. And they have now become really close. How did those two reunite?
They've been kind of talking on and off through text and over the phone, but that's really, I think, what hit it off. Charles came home last year for the Ohio State game,
okay,
and that was really nerve-wracking for him.
How did that come about? How did they even get him?
I don't know.
That's crazy.
You know, I don't know. I think it was one they talked about it, and he just decided, all right, you know, it's time to just buck up and get back up there. He hadn't been to Michigan in 15 years, I believe. He's ashamed, embarrassed. It was. I could feel myself being in his shoes when he walked into that place. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had to just feel, you know, he's felt 2 inches tall since the Lions let him go.
Exactly.
So to come in there and then see that Michigan State hasn't forgot about him, and they haven't, that's a beautiful. He's arguably the best player who ever played at Michigan State. No offense.
No,
I do love
James,
those pretty
right?
rings. He doesn't have one of those.
Yeah, point. Yo, no offense,
I wasn't
James,
one of the greatest neither, but I might have blocked for one of the greatest.
Yeah, but yeah, and you know, you go to that interaction. What was that interaction like, seeing him be embraced by guys like Ken Manny and Mark D'Antonio?
Well, I actually wasn't there.
Okay, but you heard about it.
I heard it from Todd and him, and it was a big moment for both of them. They both teared up separately. You know, I obviously interviewed them separately, so they both teared up. That was a big moment because TJ basically said you could see the weight just lifting off his shoulders, mm-hmm. that he actually feels like he has somewhere to go because he sure can't go to the Lions.
Right.
And Saginaw, he could go back to. He just doesn't think he can go back. That's how I feel.
Right.
He doesn't think he'd be welcomed. But that guy, when you walk into Saginaw High School, there are pictures all over this guy. Mm-hmm. The coaches almost in tears telling me how much they love this guy. Lamar Woodley's telling me how much he loves this guy. Saginaw loves him. Draymond's tried to help him. He has help. He has people who really care about him. And I compared it to, like, say, Kiln, Mississippi, where Brett Favre's from. That's kind of what I got from Saginaw. This is the home of Charles Rogers. This isn't home of Lamar Woodley or Draymond Green.
Right.
Charles Rogers started this whole thing.
He initiated that.
Yeah, and Woodley admitted in the piece, I mean, that he believes that Charles Rogers is the best athlete to come out of that area.
And Charles brought all the scouts in.
Wow.
That's why Lamar ended up, that's not why, but the scouts were there.
It was a trickle-down effect.
Yeah.
And he remembers that moment, you know, seeing all the scouts in the stands, and, you know, he was certainly the beneficiary of that.
Yeah.
Charles Rogers now, of course, as we noted, he's out in Fort Myers, Florida. What is next for Charles Rogers? What do you think, Cody?
That's a million-dollar question, man.
Mm-hmm.
I personally don't think he's ready to grow up. I don't think he's ready to make that next step. And the reason I say that is because marijuana is still a big deal in his life.
Smokes it every day, right?
Every day. No, with no apologies. He does not think that was a factor whatsoever in his undoing. And it simply was. It just was.
So he's still in denial of that?
Yeah. Vicodin injuries, especially the injuries, is what he attributes to ending his career. But, yeah. I mean, you know, not just to pick on the marijuana thing, but just he's happy being the general manager of a place where he doesn't know anything about cars, and he's happy living where he's living in Fort Myers.
Content.
Like he told me in the story, I'm just maintaining.
Yeah,
he is just maintaining, barely, I think, in my opinion.
You can check out this article again. It's also posted on the Detroit Free Press, LSJ.com. Quote, Charles Rogers says pain pills, injuries, ruined career. not marijuana. And that goes to my final question for you, James. You know, you hear this conversation all the time about marijuana in today's league. I mean, and we've seen so many players get hooked on painkillers, those who have played the game in the past. And they always say, yeah, they used to hand them out like Skittles, right? That policy has since changed based on what we know about painkillers today. But should marijuana be legal in today's sport? I've never asked you that question, James. Should it be? Because I know you've seen some things playing back in the 80s, dude.
You know, I mean, I can't answer that yes or no, but I'm going to say this. Right now, it's an epidemic going around about marijuana. Mm-hmm. Once society or lawmakers have allowed, you know, people to grow it, people to get their card, marijuana, you know. Granted, hey, I got family members been smoking it forever. But
do you think it's a better alternative to painkillers? A lot of people say that. I mean, marijuana, I guess, is not as addictive, you know, than painkillers.
I mean, you can say yes. Uh-huh. But regardless, it's still a drug.
Right.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? I can't, because, you know, everybody's reaction to marijuana or to different substance is different. Mm-hmm. Some people can just start with that, and then it progresses and leads to other things.
Right.
Okay. So that's a million-dollar question, like you said, you know. But it's sad because it's happening at a younger age now. Mm-hmm. Going back to what we were talking about, when I was at Eastern High School, or in all high schools, it's not just Eastern, don't get me wrong, because I'm not trying to put nobody on blast here, okay?
Right, right.
It's all high schools. These kids nowadays, they think it's cool. They walk around with it in their pocket.
So there clearly needs to be, a cutoff line when it comes to how old.
Yeah, of course. I mean, because
you have to regulate it, yeah.
You can smell it. Mm. That's the catch nowadays. Back in the day, you could have it and not even smell it.
Right, right.
But it's a big debate. I just pray for these kids and, you know, pray for, you know, everybody that's dealing with situations like that because one thing we know, storms are going to come.
Right.
Storms are going to come. The key is how do we respond to them when they come?
James Moore, Cody Tucker, thank you for your time this afternoon. I'm sure our listeners really enjoyed that. Thank you so much, fellas.
Thanks, Al. Appreciate it.
All right, we've got less than 30 seconds left, and we have to bid you all adieu. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. We will actually be inviting to the show Todd Duckett. You don't want to miss that. He's got his charity flag football game coming up this weekend. I'm getting ready for it. I'll be playing in it this Sunday, Isaac. I know I'm going to be sore on Monday, dude. It should be fun. Todd will be live in studio to talk about that and so much more. As always, have a great afternoon. And as always, be easy, people.